Okay, we are looking forward to some more things coming up by next week, 12 March. We don't have to worry about so many groups anymore. So that's wonderful news. And let's look forward to that. But at the same time, please exercise wisdom, caution in everything we do. Because life, as we will study today, is absolutely complex. Never think of life as straightforward. Okay, if I do this, I pass O level, I go A levels, and then I go to university, and then I'm done with life. You wish. The challenge is always, what do we learn from all of these things here? And a lot of us are just not learning the lessons that we should. And so sometimes lives become even more complex. It doesn't get easier. Lives get even more complex if we are not learning the right lessons. You think that life will get easier. Life never gets easier. So the question is, what do we do now? And that's where this whole chapters that we are reading just help us to understand that life is anything but easy. Think about how we can overcome these things, all right? So this is where we ask the Lord to give us that wisdom to know how to read, to understand, to apply the lessons of life that we are supposed to be learning. Think about this. Well, let's prepare our hearts for worship. Okay, we are going to take a little bit of time to think together, pray together, and ask the Lord to lead us, to guide us. I think you understand where we are coming from. It's been a long haul to be where we are, and a little bit of more relaxing of rules after this week. More things will come. And we think that it's over, you wish. And just hope that we will go away from what we call simplistic thinking into understanding life and what it means. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we ask you to open our understanding. Help us to learn about life, what it means. Help us to go beyond a simplistic outlook of life, and to look at the challenges, the complexities that will come into our hearts, into our life situation. Continue to open our understanding. We pray that you will grant us that mercy, that grace to understand life as we see it. Help us to go deeper in our faith, in our life, and lift up our hearts, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, we're going to have a scripture reading once again, and this time we have a slightly different team. Just ask the Lord to lead us, also to hear the prayers will be offered for us from Pastor Ben Chong as well. Okay, come on over.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today, we will be reading from Genesis chapter 30, verses 1 to 8. This passage speaks of Rachel's envy and desperation to conceive children, stemmed from her desire to compete with her sister, Leah. Now, when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, "Give me children, or else I die." And Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in the place of God, who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" So she said, "Here is my maid Bilhah. Go in to her, and she will bear a child on my knees, that I also may have children by her."
Then she gave him Bilhah, her maid, as wife, and Jacob went in to her. And Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, "God has judged my case, and he has also heard my voice and given me a son." Therefore, she called his name Dan.
And Rachel's maid Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, "With great wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister, and indeed I have prevailed." So she called his name Naphtali.
As you review the last few weeks and the last two chapters that we have been reading, if I may ask you, which character in this biblical story do you think stands out? And my answer to that is just, it's this one character, and that character is none other than God himself. And I think this last two chapters, we have seen just how wonderful God can be. And there are many lessons that we can learn about God. I think the first thing is that we have a God who reaches us even when we are in the low points of life. Well, Jacob was in one of his lowest points, and yet God reached out to him and revealed himself to him and gave him a chance to have a new beginning. We also learn how God teaches us important lessons in life. And of course, many of these lessons are not easily learned. They are hard lessons, and they are learned best in what we often call the school of hard knocks, the school of life itself. That's what Jacob had to go through. He had to learn hard work. He had to learn what it meant, what it felt like to be deceived by Laban. And there were so many things he had to learn. As we look at it, and we appreciate all over again, one, God is reaching out to us. Two, God is constantly trying to teach us lessons in our lives. And I think the key word as we consider what a wonderful God we have is this word, respond. God can try to reach out, God can try to teach, but if we don't respond, it doesn't go anywhere. And the question now is, will we respond? As God reaches out to you, would you return to God? Just as Jacob did. And even if you return to God, it doesn't mean that life would be all that easy. There will still come hard times. And God will teach us lessons in the midst of those hard times. So today, as we pray, let's very much pray that we can respond to God in these ways. Okay? Well, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that truly you are a wonderful God. And you are a God who reaches out to us. You are a God who is trying to teach us many wonderful things. We pray this afternoon that you will help us to respond to you. And Lord, if we are far away from you, no matter the mistakes we have made, no matter the sins committed, Lord, help us to return to you. And having returned to you, Lord, help us to learn the lessons that you want us to learn. Sometimes these lessons are hard, but as a result, we will be changed. And we ask you, Lord, to do this work. Change us, even if that entails some hardship. We pray and ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, let's get back to reading the Lord's Word and remember Genesis 29, 30th chapters together. I think that's important. What are we reading and what do we understand from all of these things here? And I really hope that this will give to us a better understanding of life and its challenges. Okay? Well, the first thing that we want to take note of, now, there are two views of life that I want to present to you today. Okay? One, this is called a simplistic view of life. Not a simple view, but a simplistic. What's the difference between a simple and simplistic? Now, when you say you have a simple view of life, that's not wrong in itself, right? So you just want a simple life. It's not a problem in itself if you want to have a simple life, right? Just want to be happy. You want to do well in life, you want to get on with life. That's a very simple approach towards life. It's not a problem in itself. The danger is when simple becomes simplistic. Now, what do we mean by simplistic? Right? Now, watch this very carefully, because this simplistic view of life is actually very prevalent. Okay? Simplistic. Jacob's understanding. If I have a blessing, if I have the firstborn blessing, if I have the birthright, I'm done. Right? That means I've got it. Have you? So he had the first, the birthright, firstborn, birthright, blessing. All over. Of course not. Can you see this? Right? So simplistic thinking. And simplistic thinking is actually doesn't work. It's just not real in life. Reality is to look at it. What about your brother? Won't he get upset? Won't he get angry? A simplistic view of life does not take into consideration all the problems, difficulties that are there in life. And so when you just go ahead like that, you're going to end up with a lot of more challenges. Simplistic, okay? Number two. Here we have the mother called Rebecca, and she thinks, I don't want my son to get married to one of the Hittite women, Canaanite women, otherwise my life got no meaning. Right? Okay, send son back over to my family's life and, things will work out well, right? See, simplistic. All you need to is marry the right girl. Right girl, not the left one, the right one. So what is that? Okay, I married the right girl and what, all the rest are wrong? See, the very simplistic view. And so you come into life and then, okay, simple, right? Straightforward. So I will work very hard for her, Rachel, 7 years, and things will work out. Really? And it turned out well. Simplistic, 14 years work for Rachel. You think, okay, now you've got a dream girl, right? What else could go wrong? A lot of things went wrong. Simplistic thinking. Now watch Leah's thinking. Watch this very carefully, right? And so this is what Leah says. This is very important, right? And so she says to herself, okay, the Lord has looked upon my affliction, Reuben. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. If I give him a son, he'll be so happy, he will love me. Did it happen? No. That's called simplistic. Can you see what I'm trying to get at? She thinks again. Okay, she conceived again. Because the Lord has heard me that I am unloved, therefore giving me the son also. Okay, Simeon. Okay, so God has heard. Is that over? No. Then you look at the third one. Okay, she reasons again. This time my husband will become attached to me. Can you see this? My husband will love me. God has hurt me. You know, my husband will now be attached to me. Right? Same thing. Therefore, she called his name Judah, and that is praise. Now, this is something we call simplistic thinking. Now, that actually is true for a lot of young, well, children. Because children, it's just sort of, you give me this, I'll be so happy. Give me that, I'll be so happy. That's it. Right? Now, that is not usually, unless you're a cat, then this cat is very simple. You feed the cat, love the cat happy. That's it. And the cat goes to sleep, wakes up again, more food, more happiness, go back to sleep again. And that is a cat's life. That's not a problem if you are a cat. But you're not. Right? You have got a life to live. You got things you want to accomplish. You got exams to take. And so on. So that is a simplistic life. Now, remember, it carries over to Jacob. Same. Right? He falls in love with her. Working 7 years, hard work, not a problem. Because he loves Rachel, anything is possible. You know, it all works out well. Not really. Obviously not. So now we see a problem. And this kind of simplistic thinking is very, very obvious. Right? So 1, 2, 3, 4 sons. How many years did that take? 5 years, 6 years, maybe. Right? Before. And you know what? She still thinks the same way. If this is done, therefore. If this is done, therefore. When we start thinking like that, if this is therefore, then you're going to end up with very, very simplistic thinking. And you know, very frankly, it's not true. It doesn't work at all. How do you know it doesn't work? Well, watch this very carefully. So now we go into chapter 30. Right? Now, remember this. In chapter 29, we read, so Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. They seem only a few days to him, right? Because of the love he bore for her, right? So that's 29:20. Right? And any young lady would say, wow, if we have such a man, that would be a dream. Remember, be careful. Dreams become nightmares very easily. And that's what we are looking at. So in chapter 30, verse 1. Now, when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children. Now, this is the first problem. Okay, 2. Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob. Now, I don't think that this is the first lover's quarrel they had. 14 years. No quarrel. And that is almost impossible to achieve. Right? And then they said, but this one is a big quarrel. And that is it. So she said to Jacob, you know, and young man, learn something from this young lady here. Young ladies, very hard to understand. Right? And there was once I went to Kinokuniya some years ago, and then there was this book, and, you know, $17. It says, everything you want to know about a woman. Right? So I took it, and I said, this looks like an interesting book, how to understand women. So I flipped open the book, and the entire book was empty pages. It was just a notebook with just a title, everything you want. And then the thought came to me, actually, it's true. What do you know about women? Nothing. So from the beginning of page, the last page, there was nothing there. That was just, that really struck me. So Rachel comes up and said to Jacob, give me children, not give me a child, not give me son, give me children, or else I die. Wow. You need the wisdom of Solomon to answer this kind of statement. How? But Solomon wasn't born yet. Give me children or I die. How are you going to answer this? And now we read, and Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel. Now, this is an interesting situation. What's the answer to that? Seriously. There isn't really an answer. In those days, you know, you can't see a doctor for things like that. You don't know what is wrong. I mean, seriously, right? What? See, it's not a statement alone. It's what the statement represents. What? What does it represent? Envy, anger, frustration. Can you see this? It's not just words. How to answer things like that? And, you know, Jacob had no answer. If somebody look at it, you can laugh and, what are you saying? Or how are you going to respond to that? The only thing that was there was that Jacob was absolutely angry with her. And then he literally, when you speak angrily, this is angrily, this is what he said. Am I in the place of God? What can I do? I'm not in the place of God, number one. Now, interesting, right? Who has withheld from you the fruits of the womb? Now, if only we can understand how this works out. Look at this very carefully. Okay? And this is important. In verse 3, chapter 20, verse 31, verse 31, verse chapter 29. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, in other words, hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. You see, a simplistic approach to life actually doesn't work, obviously. You can adopt it and say, never mind, I believe in it, I believe in it, I understand it. It doesn't work. 5-6 years later, it still doesn't work. And that's a reality. If the door is closed, I'm going to walk through the door and I get headache because it's not opening. I try again. I can try for 5 years and the door still will not open just because I walk into it. You can say, open sesame. You can try. Abracadabra, whatever you want to say, it's not going to open. A simplistic approach just doesn't work. Right? I hope you understand this whole idea. So if you take this approach, if I find, a blessing, it will work. If I find the right girl to get married to, it will work. Guess what? Even when God appears to Jacob with a dream and says wonderful words to him, it still doesn't work. See, that's the problem. We have such a simplistic outlook towards life. If I add the word blessing, if I add the word faith, if I add the word God, things will now turn out. Because it doesn't work. Now, we have to figure out how that works. Unfortunately, we still haven't got it yet. I just want to look at it. Now, this is where, when it, plan A doesn't work, so then we have sort of plan A. Well, how about if we do plan B? Let's see if that works. But if plan B is more of simplistic thinking, then obviously it won't work either. It just makes life even more complex. Well, let's take a look. Right? So she said, now obviously, one and two, there's no answer, right? She's frustrated, he's angry. When one is frustrated and one is angry, how does that solve the problem? It doesn't. Right? So a simplistic view approach, number two. Now let's take a look. So she said, okay, here is my maid Bilhah. Going to her, she will bear a child on my knees so that I may have children by her. Then she gave him Bilhah, her maid, as wife. And then and she said, Rachel said, God has judged my case and given me, heard my voice, given me a son, call his name Dan. Wait a minute. Is this true? See, the problem with simplistic thinking is that our reasoning sounds right. Right? Can you see this? Okay? Now, watch. It's actually reverse. Now, watch this very carefully. One, she's giving away her maid. In the early days, you can do that with a maid. Now, in other words, she becomes a concubine or a secondary wife. Right? Now, if the maid bears a child, now, this is a repeat of Abraham and Sarah. So grandfather's story is there now. Okay? It didn't work then. Why does it work now? Right? The lot of frictions will come, except that this time we don't see so much friction between Rachel and Bilhah. But does that really answer the thing? Nope. But we will just go with it. So there we go. Now, look at her reasoning. Simplistic thinking does not mean no thinking. It's just simplistic thinking. Right? Look at her reasoning. And so she reasons. God has judged my case. Now, whether that is true or not is a big question. Right? Because that is questionable. Whether that is even true in the first place. Right? So the preposition, you be questioned. Now, and then she said, he has also heard my voice and given me a son. She now takes this boy as her son. That is her right. Right? As the first wife, as it were, as the, rather than a concubine. So her rank is that of a primary wife. And so Bilhah is a concubine, a secondary wife. So she can say, whatever the maid bears will be hers. God has judged, God has heard, given me a son. So, okay, he's going to be called Dan. Dan literally means judge. But is that necessarily true? You see the problem? Simplistic thinking and reasoning can sound to be true and yet not actually be true. That is the problem with simplistic thinking. Because we have already fixed our mind. I pray about it, I'm good about it, and I'm done. This is like Amy Carmichael praying. Dear God, I've been a good girl. You know, I've got brown eyes, and you know what? I like some blue eyes, so I'm going to pray, and hey, presto, tomorrow you're going to give me blue eyes. You know what? The brown eyes stayed the rest of her life. You see? So simplistic thinking can extend for years. Simplistic thinking can actually go on and you can reason it out and it sounds plausible, it sounds doable, and you actually believe in that. Right? But what was the original equation? Give me children or I die. No children, neither is she dead. You see the problem? If that is a true equation, no children die. It didn't work. She didn't have children and she did not die either. Now that becomes a real problem. Now, you see the problem of simplistic thinking? It extends further. There we go. Okay? And Rachel's maid Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, with great wrestling, I have wrestled with my sister, and indeed, I have prevailed. So she called his name Naphtali or Naphtali. Can you see this? So what has it become now? A wrestling match. Sister and sister, they are not actually wrestling, but now they're going to see a contest. Who is going to have more children? Now, you see the reasoning of Leah, right? If I give him a son, my husband will love me. Right? God has heard me. You know what? This is going to happen. They are actually similar. You watch the reasoning. You watch very, very carefully and you see this very clearly. Right? The Lord has looked on my affliction. There we go. This is what she said. All right, this is Leah. Look at Rachel. God has judged my case. Both have called upon to look at their cases, judge their cases, and they come up with two different names. But God's name is thrown in, and therefore, if God's name is thrown in, it works. It doesn't work. But that simplistic thinking, unfortunately, is in and she can't get out. And so sister to sister, it doesn't work and yet it is followed through. I have prevailed. How do you prevail? You got four sons, you have the second one. How do you prevail? Right? Can you see the problem with simplistic thinking? And that is not how it works. And so we read, and Leah saw that she had stopped bearing. Now, see, you can have a maid. Listen, I also have a maid. So what do I do now? And that becomes a very, very big problem. Okay, I hope you understand this. Right? Now, before we go on to the other sons, we have to ask ourselves, how does this actually work out? Now, all these things will help us to understand that a simplistic understanding of life just doesn't work, obviously. Can you see what I'm trying to get at? All right? Now, how do we then get out of simplistic thinking? And this is absolutely important for us to figure out. Now, it can go on. All right? The simplistic thinking, the sister will have other with similar thoughts, and then you bring God into the picture, and then off we go, and so and so forth. And that is absolutely important for us. Now, so we need to stop for a while and ask, what's the answer to simplistic thinking? Now, please understand this. And the real challenge is to actually go back to Genesis 28, which we need to go back. Now, watch this very carefully, right? And this is important. And all those things won't work otherwise. What is really needed? And young people, this is something that you need to start with right now. Okay? Please avoid a simplistic outlook towards life. If I have a boyfriend, I've got it made. I got a girlfriend, life is good. That's not how it works. Now, I hope you understand this. And yet, this is a kind of simplistic thinking that tends to prevail. So all throughout life, we're looking for a life partner. We're looking for somebody. And then, you know, life is complete and everything else. That is not true. Right? Now, watch this very carefully. So the stories of Abraham, grandfather, Isaac, father, those lessons have literally been lost along the way. You realize this? There is no mention of the God of Abraham. There is no mention of a God of Isaac. Nothing. Look at where God said this is absolutely important. Okay? In chapter 28 is actually a critical chapter to read. Right? And so this is what the Lord said. Right? I am the Lord God of Abraham. And he says, your father. Not grandfather, your father. And the God of Isaac. Why does God mention Abraham and say, Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac? Now, this is important for us. You see, when we take a look at life, and obviously we begin to realize simplistic thinking doesn't work, right? Simplistic reasoning doesn't work. Sometime we have to come to this realization it doesn't work. Obviously, you have to find, so what's the solution? And this is important. The solution is found in what God has said. Okay? Now, Jacob, I am the God of your father, Abraham. Unfortunately, grandfather or father Abraham is not very real to Jacob because Jacob wouldn't know him, obviously, right? He wouldn't know him. Yeah, so this is a first problem. But watch what's missing. I am the Lord God, Abraham, Isaac. What's missing? And you always got to ask, what is missing? And what is missing is very obvious. A personal faith in God was missing. Now, throwing in the name of God is not the same as a personal faith relationship with God. Anybody can throw in God's name. Anybody can say, God hurt me, God judged me, God is helping me to prevail. That's your conclusion. But just because you mention God's name doesn't mean that God is the one who is there. All right, so what's missing is very obvious. God was missing in life. As Jacob, he did not follow through. Look at the reasoning of the wives and you realize that this is not getting true at all. And that is important, number one. Okay, number two. Now, this is important. This is what Jacob said. Okay, and this is important. And so he says, surely God is, the Lord is in this place. I did not know it. And that is the problem. I did not know it. See, the question is, what does it take to know something? That is the question. What does it take to know? The problem is we don't really sit down to ask ourselves, what does it take to know? Right? If I have a single experience of God, is that all I need? And obviously, it's not. I hope you understand this. It takes time, it takes experience, it takes understanding, it takes relationship building to actually know. That is obviously important. That's why we always are a little bit concerned when we call it a whirlwind romance. You know, you read in books, summer romance. You know, 3 months, 4 months. Wow, fall in love every day, going to the amusement park, eat candy floss, have a lot of laughs, and then okay, we get married, and then the problems start. You see the difficulty? What's missing? God's missing. What's knowledge is there? The little bit of knowledge that is there of God. The question, is it enough? Simplistic thinking says, enough. I have a blessing. I believe in God. It's enough. Reality tell you it is not. Obviously. Okay, I hope you understand. We don't want to have a simplistic. What we need is a mature understanding of life. And that is the opposite of the idea of simplistic. Right? And so if you understand God, like he says, okay, what an awesome place this is. How awesome is this place? Right? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. All these are nice words. They're all this thing, and that is important. But what do we do about it? Nothing. And that you have a juvenile, immature approach about things. And unfortunately, this problem of being immature, and it's just something that we need to address. And let me turn you to a book in the book of Hebrews. Let's turn to this a little bit. Right? Now, this is important for us to understand. Chapter 5, okay? Now, watch this very, very carefully. Chapter 5 and verse 12. Now, let's turn to the book of Hebrews, if you can. Chapter 5, just take a little bit of time. Let's read this together, and we read this. Though by this time, right, you ought to be teachers. I think this is important. By this time, you ought to be teachers. Now, you ask yourself, how old do I need to be a teacher? Now, this is important, right? So, you need someone to teach you again. That's a problem. When we have to repeat a lesson again and again and again, it will tell you, you have not mastered that lesson. Young people, let me challenge you. Move towards the day when you can become a teacher of the Word of God. That is important. Right? So let's establish the first principles first. Right? The oracles of God, the truth of God. Problem is, we still need milk and not solid food. So everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled. So if we are still unskilled, we do not have maturity, we have simplistic understanding. It doesn't matter how old we are, that problem exists. That is the problem. And this is a real challenge, right? So the person is still a babe. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age, right? How? By reason of use. Now, these are all, by reason of use. Use your reason again and again and again. Use it. But having the senses exercised. Then you learn discernment, good and evil. Right? But simplistic thinking, you don't discern. You don't have your senses exercised. You just do what you used to do, and that's it. And that is frankly not good. And that is very, very obvious. Jacob did not grow much further. If he does not grow much further, neither will you see the wives there growing any further. Right? Now, this is important. It's not as if they've got Bibles to read in those days. You don't. That's why we read over here to have their senses exercised. It's not the scripture knowledge exercise. Your senses. If we've got nothing else, use your senses to discern good, evil, right, wrong, good, not so good. Use them well. The important thing is mature through it all. And that will go a long, long way. Right? So the simplistic thing was just not giving all the answers that was needed. What was life all about? Is it about blessing? Is it about God? Is it about getting married? Now he's got four wives. Now he's got six children. Well, Jacob would not know there's six more to go. Right? But can you see this? It just repeats again and again. What does it mean to have a family? So if they're all one after the other, one child, four, plus two more, and then they are wrestling. Right? The two sisters are wrestling. They're going to make use of their mates to get involved in the fight. Come on. Are we discerning anything? No, we are not. And that is the problem. We are not growing the way we should be growing. Don't look at life simplistically. It will stand you no good whatsoever. It's not going to stand you in any way for your good. But this is important. God makes a start. He introduces himself. You could ask yourself, what's missing? God of Abraham, God of Isaac, how about me? Right? God makes many promises. How do I make them mine? How does it work? You have got to work at it. Right? Now get married. What's the place of children? Right? You think they're just going to be very simple? This is very important. Children are not cats. Cats are simple creatures to love, to understand, not children. I don't have to teach mathematics to my cat. No need. I can teach him some manners. I can make him, okay, now what do we do? First thing, every morning, it's Mano's kiss, he will kiss. Okay, done. Now, sit down. He will sit down. I will ask him, would you like more? And he will tap, yes. Right? And then at the end of what I want to feed him, I say, go and get a drink of water. He will go down there and get a drink of water. And that's a cat. But when you have children, that's a different story entirely. And we're just going to look at life simplistically. It doesn't work, obviously. So the first lesson that we need to learn today is that a simplistic mindset, a simplistic outlook, a simplistic approach to life doesn't work. Now you, okay, I passed my O level, so what? Okay, now I passed my A level, so what? So next day, go army. After that, go university. And that's it. Where does God come in? Where does knowledge come in? Where does faith come in? Have I become more mature? And my senses exercise. Do I know how to discern good and bad? If I don't have any of these things here, I am going to end up with a very simplistic thing entirely. Right? Now, this is something that we need to look at. And the challenge, of course, is obvious. You can make error after error after error the rest of your life. And it's just riddled with errors. So use Hebrews 5, and ask yourself some very, very basic question, okay? So let's use Hebrews 5 as we conclude. And let's ask ourselves whether we can answer some of these questions, all right? Let's look at Hebrews 5 all over again. And then we'll see how whether we have moved from one to the other, one level to the next level, okay? Here we go. Okay? By this time, you ought to be teachers. You need to be taught a first principle. Okay. Supposing somebody you really badly needed to become a Sunday school teacher, can you? You won't know what to teach. First one, down. Watch
very carefully. Okay? Two, you can take milk or solid food. Obviously, a baby cannot take solid food. That is very, very, very obvious. All right? Milk or solid food. A person who thrives only on milk is unskilled in the word of right. So, question, are you skilled? That's the next level to test. Now, go on further. Okay? Solid meat or solid food belong to those who are of full age. Are you of full age spiritually? Full age is not a matter of how old you are, but of full age in the sense of are you able to reason, using of use, senses exercise, discern good and evil? Can you do that? And if you cannot do that, then we end up with a problem of simplistic reasoning, simplistic thinking, and we're going to end up with errors. Am I making sense to you? Right? So your challenge today, okay, we've made many mistakes already. Okay, that's done. Question, are we going to keep on making them? Or are we going to learn from them? Okay, it's inevitable that we make a mistake. The question is, are we learning from the mistakes we have made? Because if we keep on making the same mistakes again and again, I'll tell you straight away, you are unskilled, you are not mature, you are not growing very much, you are going to end up with a simplistic understanding of life. And that obviously does not work. Think about this. Be challenged. Tell yourself, you know, I want to do this. And I still remember when I was your age, and I said, my desire, what do I want? I want to be able to do this. I wanted to serve the Lord. I wanted to become a Sunday school teacher. I wanted to become a youth leader. I wanted to be able to know the scriptures. I wanted to be able to lead people to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How old was I then? Teenager, your age. That was something that drove me to read the scriptures, to pray, to cry out to God, help me. I really, really want to grow. Well, God answered those prayers, and He's still helping me to learn and to grow further. When does it start? When you are ready to start. And I started that journey when I was a teenager. You can start too. And I'm serious. You can start too. But it must be sincere, genuine about it. And God will reveal Himself to you. But you must be driven to look at this. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you will open our eyes to look at life and realize that a simplistic approach to life doesn't work. I pray that you will help us to look at how we can improve further our knowledge, our faith, our experience, our understanding, and be challenged to move on to maturity. Help us to have an ability to have our senses exercised so that we can become discerning, wise, mature people. We pray that you would give us this blessing from above. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Okay, take this outline, and I really, really hope that you will grow. And listen, we're happy to talk to any one of you. If you want to learn how to grow further, how to mature, we're here to help you. Remember, but the growing is yours. We can't grow for you. You got to do your own growing up, okay? Well, you take care. Have a safe week. Looking forward to more relaxation next week. But be safe, all right? Bye.